You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's great to be back in Studio A. We're ready to bring our A game, man. We are just one day away from football. Now, I know there was a Hall of Fame game, and we got freaking screwed, man. We got screwed. Had the under of that game. It was a million points. Think about it. All those penalties, actually, on an Arizona Cardinal extra point attempt, that's what ended up costing us the damn total when it was all said and done. If they didn't get that two-point convert because the Cowboys put them on a damn goal line, it's my first bad beat of the year. Who ruined your Thursday last week? Well, I'll tell you what, the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinal that game, well, it didn't really ruin my Thursday because I was in Costa Rica at the Sheraton at the IFBC powered by SBR. Great time. Thanks for the hospitality to everybody in Costa Rica. It's great to be back. A lot of stuff going on, all right? And we're going to be breaking it all down. A lot of NFL stuff going on. And ironically enough, when I came back from Costa Rica, I had a layover in Miami, Florida. And literally, figuratively, I was actually in the airport in Miami when Jay Cutler signed. But we'll break that down with Gary and Thorne. Fantasy football expert, as well as, of course, a big Miami Dolphin fan. So I look forward to Garian's opinion on the Jay Cutler side and give you my opinion in a couple of moments time here. Dave Malinsky is going to join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sportsbookreview.com's Dave Malinsky. His column's on the front page over at SBR right now, point blank. Malinsky goes point blank with us every Tuesday. We're going to finally start talking some football with the professor. We talked a little bit about the San Francisco 49ers last week with Dave. Yet we're going to talk some Saint football. We're talking Panther football. Dave's got a baseball pick that he likes for tonight. So we're talking football and baseball with the professor. And speaking of professors, one of the smartest golf guys out there that I know, besides Pat Mayo and Cam Stewart and Blessing. I know a lot of sharp golf guys, actually. But Dan Daly, VegasInsider.com, one of the freaking sharpest, man. This guy nails majors, man, like Chris Farley used to nail lines of cocaine. Looking for a quick analogy, that's what I came up with. I was just in Costa Rica, after all. So, hey, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. Baseball, Dodgers keep winning. I don't understand the number for the Dodgers tonight. But without further ado, I want to talk about Jay Cutler, man. There's been a lot of talk over the last 48 hours about Jay Cutler getting a one-year, $10 million deal from the Miami Dolphins. And ironically enough, I actually was in the airport in Miami when this deal went down. And even crazily enough, I was sitting next to the wrestler of the Big Show the whole time. I met a lot of people on this trip, but that's besides the point. So I'm in Miami. I start laughing my ass off, literally and figuratively, in the airport. I'm like, I can't believe I'm Miami, and I see the Jay Cutler's just signed with the Miami Dolphins. My initial reaction was that the Miami Dolphins evidently were taking the same bath salts that everybody else seems to take down there in South Florida. And I'm like, really? Jay freaking Cutler? A guy who admitted last year he doesn't care whether he wins or loses? And for the record, it's evident, all right? It's evident. Jay Cutler is the worst quarterback in the NFL to bet on. The guy is 55-81 against the spread in his career. 55-81. You add it all up. If you bet against Jay Cutler in every game that he's played, you're up 24 units over the years. Not bad. Hey, you're betting $1,000 a game, you're up $24,000. And don't tell me, oh, he was on bad teams. Dude was on the Denver Broncos, man, all right? He was on the Broncos. He's been on some decent teams. You ever think maybe it's like him? You ever think, like, maybe he's the freaking problem? So, listen, let me clarify this and state. I think Jay Cutler sucks, all right? I would rather have RG3, okay? Like, I'm this close to telling you I'd give Johnny Manziel a chance before Jay Cutler. At least Johnny Manziel sort of kind of cares. Jay Cutler doesn't care. I've seen hostages in videos who, like, look more enthusiastic than Cutler did. Look like he's being held there against his will. They gave me $10 million and I'm being forced to play. Turns out Cutler didn't even want to do it. His wife talked him into it. It's just like any given Sunday. You soft-ass wuss. You're not going to retire now. We need more money. Money! Money! So you bring Jay Cutler in, and I think it's ridiculously stupid. And as a Buffalo Bill fan, I love it. We get Bolden, you get Cutler. Hey, I don't get a lot to laugh about as a Buffalo Bill fan. We haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years. What can I laugh about? I can laugh about this. I can laugh about this. Jay Cutler freaking blows. He sucks. He's terrible. He's a gas can. All right? Like, if he was a starting pitcher, his ERA would be like 6. But with all that being stated, I do understand it. I do know why Gase reached out to Cutler. The fact of the matter is, Cutler had a decent year when Gase was in Chicago. Never mind the fact that they threw Cutler out of the bus for all the sacks that he took. And I'll tell you right now, just take the over in every sack prop in every Dolphins game this year, because Cutler is a freaking sack machine, man. What is it? Is it 302 times? Yeah, 302 times he's been sacked in his career. Great numbers. 302 sacks. He's only won 55 games against the spread in his career. He's lost 81. The Buffalo Bill win total of over 6.5 is looking better and better, isn't it? But as I stated, I get it. And, you know, you look, Cutler did have a decent year. Had a good quarterback rating of like 92.3 or something like that when Adam Gase was with him with the Chicago Bears. And if you're Gase, it makes sense. You're going to go with a dude who you know. You know Jay Cutler. You know Cutler's got a good arm. I know Cutler's got a good arm. Jay Cutler could be a good quarterback, all right? Jay Cutler is a literal, like, mannequin robot, all right? Like, seriously. Jay Cutler should be like the Wizard of Oz. Like, he has no heart. He doesn't care. He is emotionless. And that could be a good thing in sports, but with him, it isn't. He's admitted he doesn't care about winning. I go out there, I do what I do, I throw the ball, and if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. That's going to go down real good in the Miami Dolphins locker room. And the fact of the matter is, it really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Adam Gase thinks. And it's pretty clear that Adam Gase thinks that Jay Cutler is better than Matt Moore. And Jay Cutler has more physical tools than Matt Moore. I'm not going to dispute that. But I think that Matt Moore would be more efficient running this football team. I think he'll turn the ball over less. I don't care about arm strength and crap, guys. I care about winning football games. And Jay Cutler, you know, quite simply, is not a winner. He's not a winner, all right? And the Dolphins won't win with this guy. And I tell you what, I don't know how they're going to feel in the room to see how aloof Jay Cutler is and how he really doesn't give a crap. And you know what? If he was in TVs, in football, if he got cut tomorrow, he'd go back to TV. It doesn't matter to him. I don't think it's going to go down real well. A guy on a one-year deal that doesn't give a crap is going to be out there turning the ball over because he's the coach's buddy. Yeah, that's going to go down well in the room. Meanwhile, a guy like Matt Moore that's been in there, knows the offense, has gotten it done for him, is getting kicked to the curb. Gase says, and if you're Moore, the writing's on the wall. Gase says, Jay didn't come here to stand on the sidelines. No, no. Jay Cutler came here to frustrate Miami Dolphin fans and turn the freaking ball over all the time. I'll tell you what, man, the fish are going to get squished a hell of a lot this year. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. It's great to be back from Costa Rica. We had a great time at the IFBC. I want to thank SBR for putting it on. I want to thank all the sponsors, Intertops, BetOnline, UWager, nothing but class in Costa Rica. Mark Lawrence was there. He's going to join us tomorrow. Ted Safransky was there. He'll be on the show on Thursday. The only one that wasn't there was Dave Malinsky. But Dave's been there before, so he knows all about Costa Rica. We got a great show lined up for you. Gary and Thorne, Fantasy Sports Network's very own, will join us. We'll talk about the Dolphins from a fantasy standpoint. And Gary is also a Dolphin fan, so we look forward to his take on Jay Cutler. Dan Daly, Vegas insider. He's one of the sharpest golf guys out there, man. We're lucky to get him on the show before every major. He's going to join us. But the professor bats a leadoff. Dave, always a pleasure, sir. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, it's been so fascinating the last 48 hours because I've talked to so many people in Costa Rica, and literally they have law enforcement officials with their heads buried in their penal code because they still can't figure out if the stuff you did there was legal or not. It's gone way beyond anything they've ever experienced.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that because I like to be able to go back without any worries, to be honest with you. But, you know, I got out of there with my dignity intact, all things considering, which can be hard to do there at times. But, yeah, it was a great conference and a great time. A great facility at the Sheraton in San Jose. Beautiful hotel. Costa Rican people, very, very friendly, very generous. And the SBR crew specifically as well, Dave. You know, we've done business with them over the years. We've had them on the show over the years, Low Shack, et cetera. But my first time down there, great people, very, very nice people. I've been around the industry a long time. They would have given us their shirt off their backs.
You know, it's a good crew down there, and that there's an authenticity to what they're doing. So things like the IFBC, just the beginning of so many things I think they're going to be able to make happen.
So I know you saw my presentation. What'd you think, Dave? I dropped a few F-bombs along the way. It's funny because the network here wanted to replay it. They heard such good things about it, but they're like, man, you did swear a lot, actually. But, hey, I was playing to the room, Dave, you know?
Well, and for people who have not had a chance to see it yet, it's a combination of both swearing and sweating. You were working very, very hard.
Yeah, I put on a show, so to speak. And don't forget, I also gave Florida Atlantic over the number, and it's already moved. Dave, I had a guy that came up to me right after the conference, like 5 minutes after. He goes, no kidding. He goes, I just put $2,000 on Florida Atlantic over because of what you just said. So, you know, it's flattering. You know, the guy right away, it's amazing, Dave. Like, I didn't know how many people were going to be there. Like, who's going to go all the way to Costa Rica to watch a bunch of guys speak? The room was packed. There were people from all over the world. It was crazy.
Well, think about the influence you're having, because not only that, but because otherwise Florida Atlantic isn't moving. But where is Blood Diamond going to close?
Oh, Conflict Diamond. Conflict Diamond.
Excuse me. Conflict Diamond. My bad.
Yeah, Conflict Diamond. Close.
Where is Conflict? What was it, 3-1 on the morning line?
We're going to close probably, I'd say, 1-5.
Which it's, and you understand, I am a mercenary. I am only in this for the money. If I see 1-5, that forces me to do something with some of the other runners.
I've told people all the time, there's always value in the other horses in our race. You know, we're such a public horse. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. You know, but we didn't win last week. We won 2 weeks ago, so there was a big buzz. And everyone was a day late and a dollar short. But, you know, Dave, this is it's only our fourth race, actually. And in two of the races, we've been fourth, sixth, fourth, and first, actually. So it's our fifth race. We've been in the 8-hole 3 times, and we've been in the 5-hole once only. So we've been on the outside in 3 of our 4 races. So, you know, we've been in a tough spot. The one time we were in the 5-hole, we went wire to wire and we won. So we're in the 5-hole again tonight. So we've got high expectations. I'd be lying if I told you I'm not hoping for top 2 tonight.
The problem is it's just not helping the rest of us, because the one win I managed to cash in on, but what I cashed in wouldn't even pay for the horse's feed the next day.
Yeah, but I'm like Jerry Jones or Robert Kraft now. I'm the big-time owner. I don't care if the team covers the spread, Dave. Life's still good for me in the owner's box, you know?
It is quite a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. So, all right, let's jump in here with the Saints, because our cameraman over here, who he says a lot of dumb things, but once in a while he gets something right. And he's been bigging up the New Orleans Saints. He's a big sleeper this year. And they're going to bounce back. They're going to make the playoffs. He says they're going to go far and all this, but let's just talk about them making the playoffs even. But you specifically wrote today over at sportsbookreview.com about their secondary and the aggression and Aaron Glenn, the defensive back coach, and the new style that he's bringing, the athletes that they have. I did a Saints preview recently, and I focused in on Kenny Vaccaro, who was having a great year last year, and he got popped for Adderall. He got suspended for the last four or five games of the season, whatever it was. But he's back this year. He's looking great, and he's in a contract year. So you know he's going to be balling. You bring in Marshawn Lattimore, great speed, great athlete, little raw, only 21 years old, out of Ohio State. You know, you throw in Ken Crawley. You wrote about Devontae Harris. They've got some depth, and they've got some athletes, and they got a new attitude this year back there. And quite frankly, they really can't be any worse than they have been.
No, I mean, what we haven't seen from the Saints in a long time, and certainly take it back through, you know, the Ryan years, they didn't have a sense of purpose on defense. What they have this year, there's a sense of purpose. Now, you couldn't see it last year because there were so many injuries in that secondary. They only had one guy at cornerback that was on the field over 60% of the snaps. There's a sense of purpose. They have gone after a prototype player. They want to go to press coverage. They want to get physical at the line of scrimmage. And, Gabe, I'll tell you what I liked in terms of a buy-in. Seven guys from that defense were out here for a week in Los Angeles back in May going through literally MMA training.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to play press coverage as a cornerback, that's the closest thing to MMA in terms of tangling the guy up that you're going to find. I think the players like the system, and I think they're buying into it.
You know, it's a great point. You talk about the press coverage, not to mention creating turnovers as well, the hand-eye coordination. I like it. I like that they said they love it, too. And it just makes them more aggressive, Dave. You know, they're not just running laps. They're punching things. They're taking people down. It builds that cohesiveness and that anger. They've got pride. They know what their numbers are every year. You wrote about it today. You know, they're either 30 or 31, 32 every year in pass defense. I think they, you know, listen, Lattimore's still a little young, though. So they, you know, that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period. But, you know, are you looking at the Saints as a play-on team this year? Not a playoff team, but a play-on team this year.
I do, because I don't think the markets are going to spot the defensive improvements, and that they were so terrible the last couple of years that an improvement would be average. But you know what? Average gets you to 9-7 or 10-6. I think they'll improve not enough to have the sex appeal for everybody to adjust, but we're going to take advantage. I think this defense will go from being 32 maybe up into the lower 20s. That's the sort of improvement bettors don't always see.
And I'll tell you what, Dave, you just said it right there. You don't need to improve that much when you're scoring 29.3 points a game. They had the second highest scoring offense in the National Football League last year, and they will again this year. They'll be right there in that range, 28 to 30 points again this year. They gave up 30 points. In all actuality, Dave, they really just need to shave, you know, a field goal off this game. Cut it down, you know, a field goal to a touchdown, so to speak. Just shave it off a couple of points, and then you're a winning football team.
Yeah, and when you shave a couple of points, you're actually making your offense better. You're giving a better field position. You're able to set the game up better for Drew Brees. So there are reasons to like New Orleans, and I think it's going to carry on for a while into the season. Like I said, I don't think the markets are going to see this defensive improvement coming.
All right, the first preseason games are always tricky. I am an advocate of preseason betting, but the first ones out of the gate are always tricky. But with that being stated, we've got the Saints and the Browns here. Osweiler starting for the Browns. They've got Kessler. They've got Kaiser. They've got Kevin Hogan. When, you know, initial look, Dave, that's a pretty solid preseason rotation that you have going on right there. But let's look at the Saints situation. All right, let's say Drew Brees plays a series or something, and I don't know how much Drew Brees is actually going to play, but you've got Chase Daniel who will play. You've got Garrett Grayson, who they're going to want to get a nice look at, who they might think is their quarterback of their future after Drew Brees, actually. And you got Ryan Nassib that's been kicking around the league for a couple of years right now. And then I see that Hugh Jackson is 0-8 in his career in the preseason. Dave, he went 0-4 that year with the Raiders, 0-4 last year with the Browns. And I find it extremely hard to lay 3 points with the Browns in this setting.
Yeah, I think the only difference for Hugh Jackson this year is he might have a team that needs to win a game in preseason. Last year he didn't have that. Last year there was no pressure at all to put anything together. Remember, Cleveland opened with more rookies on their roster than any non-expansion team in NFL history. This time, though, if I'm coaching that team, I want to get a win somewhere because sometimes you just need it in that locker room. I certainly don't want to lay these points. If Jackson's going to play all four of his quarterbacks, I don't like that. And that's something to look at. If it's a two-quarterback rotation, it's good. Three-quarterback rotation isn't bad. If he's going to play all four, none of them get enough time on the field to get into a rhythm.
What about getting to the over, Dave? You know, normally, you know, people have an assumption, preseason unders. We saw the Hall of Fame game creep just over the number on Thursday night. I had the under. I was pretty frustrated. I thought I had a good number at 36.5. They don't get that two-point convert, I win that bet. But nevertheless, I think there could be some points here. And a good point that you raised here with Cleveland. You know, Hugh Jackson, though he's never won a preseason game before. Not to mention, Osweiler and Kessler and Kaiser, they actually are competing with each other, too.
Yeah, because as much as we want to poo-poo Brock Osweiler, who doesn't have nearly the upside people thought when he came into the league, this is going to be a guy who's got NFL starting experience up against a lot of reserve defenders. And, you know, look at the game last week. Look at what Blaine Gabbert did on those opening drives. That's what a guy with starting experience can do against a disheveled defense. So maybe there is a prospect, but I'll tell you where you might want to look for one of your overs game. Look at tomorrow night's game, because one of the things we like, if the bottom of the quarterback rotation are mobile guys,
yeah,
and those are the guys that cause headaches, well, you know what you're going to get your last rotation tomorrow night? Deshaun Watson against Joe Webb. Two guys who can tuck it and run. And that's the hardest thing for a third-string defense to face.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be shocked. Deshaun Watson is going to want to get the ball in the end zone in his first game, and I wouldn't be shocked if he does so. Tom Savage has the upper hand right now there, and I would expect Tom Savage to actually be the starter when it's all said and done. But I'm very intrigued to see Deshaun Watson, which leads me into what you wrote about today and the Panthers and what they hope is a more dynamic and athletic offense, even though they lose Ted Ginn to the aforementioned New Orleans Saints. They bring in McCaffrey. Now, McCaffrey's a hell of an athlete. I just wonder if they're going to know how to use him, if they can figure out how to use him. Cam Newton's never been a big dump-off guy on the screens. They never really run that. Shula's never really run that with Cam before. And a lot of fantasy guys are having a debate of what kind of impact McCaffrey is going to have out of the gate. I saw a video the other day where he juked Luke Kuechly pretty good, so he's looking pretty good in practice. I know that, Dave, but what's your take on McCaffrey and the impact that he has?
Yeah, I think not only McCaffrey, but also Samuel. Because what was Carolina so bad at last year? They didn't have a guy who could catch out of the backfield, and they didn't have a slot receiver or a guy who could get separation at the line of scrimmage and get yards after catch. So that playbook was so very limited. Now, 2 years ago, you know, they had so many big leads in their games, they could stay conservative. They didn't have to stretch it out. Last year, they had to stretch the playbook out, and they just didn't have the players that they could do these things with. McCaffrey is so big, and defenses won't be able to adjust personnel when McCaffrey's on the field, because if a defense is in a nickel package, they line up McCaffrey at running back, and you run the ball. If they're in a 4-3, you isolate McCaffrey against a linebacker and you throw the ball. They're going to be able to dictate and do a lot of things this year they just couldn't do last season.
You know, Samuel's interesting. Another Ohio State kid, similar to Lattimore, is extremely young. That's the theme right now. These stud athletes leaving Columbus early because Urban Meyer's doing such a great job recruiting. But he brings another athletic and a dynamic playmaker to the table. And then we get to Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess. Now, Cam Newton's still going to have a relationship with these guys, obviously. And Benjamin can be an impact player when he gets open. And I talked about this. You know, Dave, Benjamin had the most penalties out of any wide receiver in the NFL last year. Like, you know, for pushing off and grabbing, et cetera. Because he had no explosiveness off the line. And he came into camp overweight. Now, Devin Funchess was aware, and it's like it was contagious. Then my boy Funchess out of Michigan, then suddenly he couldn't get off the line either. Now, Funch has put a lot of work into this. I don't know about Benjamin this year, but that was a major problem for them in the past.
Yeah, and this is where guys like Samuel and McCaffrey help because they move the opposing defense a little bit more. If you're not worried about anyone in the short zones, and if you're not worried, nobody worried about Fuzzy Whitaker catching the ball out of the backfield. No one worried. In fact, Carolina's entire running back core caught 44 passes last year. There were 15 other running backs that caught 44 or more by themselves.
Yeah, Mike Tolbert wasn't hauling in a lot of passes either.
No, so when defenses don't have to worry about that, then they can start squatting on other guys at the line of scrimmage. But now that the defense has to spread out, it's not just Benjamin getting more room, it's Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Also getting more room down the middle of the field. You're going to have to defensively spread much further side to side than in the past against Carolina. I think it's going to make a big difference.
And think about how good Olsen has been, considering he's been dealing with the coverage that he's been dealing. You're right. It's going to open up a lot of real estate for Greg Olsen. All right, we got to get out of here, Dave. So you said you're looking at the over in this game tomorrow with the Texans and the Panthers?
I tell you what, Joe Webb has been one of my favorite preseason quarterbacks for several years now. He's put a lot of points up on the board late because, again, mobile quarterbacks are good when defenses don't know their assignments and don't know their teammates. That's what he's going to see in the second half tomorrow night. So I think we could get another game where Joe Webb and an offense produces a late touchdown for us.
All right, we got to be quick on the way out, Dave, but you wrote about the Marlins and the Nats today. You think the Nationals are in a good spot?
Vance Worley's just a journeyman, and every once in a while baseball will smile on someone. Well, Vance Worley shut the Nats out last week. Second quick look for good offense against a journeyman, I think you're going to get a much different result.
I like where you're going with that. I'm going to tail it. Dave, you're the best. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
A great stat that I picked up from Mark Lawrence, who was one of the speakers at the IFBC as well. You know, the Carolina Panthers made the Super Bowl last year, 2 years ago, and then they missed the playoffs. You know, the last 14 times that a team made the Super Bowl and then missed the playoffs the following year, they made the playoffs every time the year after. Pretty crazy stuff, courtesy of the playbook and Mark Lawrence. Dan Daly joins us next for...
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some golf. It's the final major of the year, the PGA Championship. And if we're breaking down majors, it means that the one and only Dan Daly joins us. Dan, of course, writes previews for every major tournament over at VegasInsider.com. It's one of the more informative. You're going to win, and you're going to laugh. I love Dan's writing style, and I like his picks even more. Dan, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I am wonderful, sir. It's Major Championship Week, and thank you for having me on.
That's right. So Major Championship Week, the last major of the year. But incidentally, they're going to be moving this event to May, starting in 2019 over to Bethpage Black. Do you like the move? Do you agree with the move to moving this to the spring, this event to the spring?
Well, I've been writing about them doing this for 3 years on the Vegas Insider website, so I'm still waiting for them to give me the credit that I deserve for it. So, yes, I love it. I think it's genius. To try and compete with football in September with your quote-unquote playoff is stupid.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, at least they could give you a free invite to Augusta or something. Hey, all expense paid. Thanks for the idea, Dad. But you're right, because this tournament sort of gets buried all the time. And, it's sort of an afterthought. Let's be real, right? You know, the Masters, like the Rose Bowl, we've talked about this. I remember doing the bowl analogy. I'm getting deja vu talking about and I think I said I called this one the Fiesta Bowl. It's not the Sugar Bowl. It's not the Orange Bowl. It's not the Rose Bowl. It's the Fiesta Bowl. But it's a BCS bowl game. You know what I mean? This year, it's a little bit different, though, isn't it? Due to the fact that Jordan Spieth can beat Tiger Woods' record and become the youngest player ever to win a career Grand Slam. That puts a lot more focus and interest in than it normally does in a PGA Championship, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I think that's the number one storyline heading in. But I love your Fiesta Bowl comparison because, as you know, the Fiesta Bowl almost always gives us a great bowl game, and so does the PGA Championship. Yeah. It's the afterthought with the great game at the end of the day.
Great call, Dad. You're right. It's a great call. You're right. The Fiesta Bowl, always the crazy Boise State endings and a Statue of Liberties and all that type of stuff. So another interesting thing here is, and you know, the PGA, ironically enough, at the PGA Championship would like nothing better than to have Spieth and Rory going head-to-head on national and international television on Sunday. And I know Rory's let you down before. We'll get to Rory in a moment. But we just want to bring up that the fact that this is a Quail Hollow, Ed, they might rename this course the Rory, you know, the Quail Hollow Rory, Rory here. Rory's been dominant here before, so we'll get to him in a second. Let's start off with a long shot that you wrote about that I freaking love, man. And I swear, at 2 in the morning last night, Charlie Hoffman was 125-1. I wasn't seeing things. I wrote it down. I wrote in my notes here, I love Hoffman, top 20, plus 240. But evidently a lot of other people do as well. They read your column, evidently. Now it's 50-1. It got cut in more than half, Dan, overnight.
It doesn't surprise me. And as you and I talked about, I mean, it's you got to get it in early because apparently it's either one of two things. It's either a great thing and everybody else sees it, or they read my article, which is a great thing, or number two, the whole world doing it, which means it's a terrible bet.
I love, though, I bought in, me and my boy Cam were talking about this on a radio show last night, and Cam brought it up. He grabs the driver and he says, screw it, man. I'm freaking tired of finishing second all the time. That's what I want to hear, man. I want a guy going in there that, you know, he's hungry to win. And I know Hoff is hungry to win.
Oh, it's the greatest quote on the PGA Tour all season, and it's going to be really hard to get topped. I mean, that whole dialogue with him as caddy on Sunday afternoon was absolute gold.
Yeah, I came here to win, man. I'm tired of, you know, finishing second all the time. Love it, love it. All right, so let's get to a guy that I'm actually intrigued with, but you have the pressure, and you wrote about it. You have the pressure of looking to become the youngest guy ever to win the career Grand Slam. You know, oh, yeah, going back-to-back, winning back-to-back majors. He finished 32nd in his only professional trip here in 2013, and I'm talking about Jordan Spieth, but we all know that this kid thrives under pressure. He loves the pressure.
Well, he's my man. I would love nothing more than to see Spieth finish it off and get the career Grand Slam, break Tiger's record. And as you alluded to and I alluded to in the article, I mean, the guy, it's like the more pressure he gets, the better he plays. I think that was pretty evident on Sunday.
And how about growing into it, Dan, as well, right? When he started to fade a little bit, loved the caddy saying, hey, remember when we were hanging with Phelps and Jordan and Russell Wilson and those guys? You're like them. You're as good as those guys are. You know, get back on track here. That's part of the growing experience of becoming a great player as well. Because even he says, he even admitted, he goes, I'm not those guys. I'm not as good as Michael Jordan, but I got to tell myself I am from now on. Do you remember him saying that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that hanging with those guys does a lot of good for a guy like Jordan Spieth. And I mean, he considers himself, and rightfully so, a world-class athlete at 23 years old, about 24 now, but at the time 23, and he is. And I think that confidence breeds confidence.
He's plus 900. I got to tell you, man, plus 900 is attractive enough for me to buy in here. I'm going to have to get a small piece of this and get a piece of history in the making, potentially.
You can't go wrong betting on Jordan Spieth. I mean, would you bet against the guy right now? I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd rather him than Rory at plus 650. And we'll get to this in a second. And you're really going out on a limb there. But we'll get to that. DJ, nobody's talking about him. He's 12-1 right now, unless the odds change there. Guys in the booth can keep me up to date. But he was 12-1. And I read his quote. I'm a big quote guy. I read his quote. He goes, yeah, I'm just not the same since that fall. It's like, what the hell happened, man? I thought you fell down like two stairs. It was like a little deal. I thought he was lying. I didn't believe him at the time. there's always something flaky around this guy. At least I'm not a golf insider like you are, but as a gambler and as an outsider, I look at this guy, man, and he's like, it's kind of just like Flake City with this kid to me.
Well, and talking to some people I know, I mean, two things. Number one, I don't think he fell down two stairs on his own, but that's a whole other story for a whole other time. I think he was much more injured than he led on to believe. And number two, I don't think he's the smartest guy in the room, in any room. And I think that he, and I say that because I think he gets in his own head sometimes. And I think that when he was hot, he just didn't have to think about it, and he just went and played golf. Now he's starting to question himself a little bit, and I think that's starting to creep in.
How does, we just talked about hanging out with Jordan and Russell Wilson. Didn't you think, and I've always assumed that being around Wayne Gretzky as much as he is would help him, but it doesn't seem to help him in these pressure situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and it's a great point. Sports Illustrated wrote a great article about DJ and Gretzky and the whole family. It's a great read, but it goes into that in depth. I mean, I think it's helped him dramatically. I mean, he has won a major since he's been hanging around Gretzky, and so
yeah.
I mean, go back to 3 or 4 years and how bad it was and how much better it is now. I think it does help him. I think he was queued up and ready to win the Masters this year until the stair incident.
All right, so I'll pick up the pace here because I'm told we got about 3-4 minutes. Hideki Matsuyama, man. I'm on this guy every week, and I wasn't last week, of course. That's golf betting, Dan. Right? That's, I swear, every week I'm like, man, I don't know why Hideki's 25-1. I always take him in all these majors. I always fall short. Here he is in the 11-1 range right now. You know, like I said, just as a gambling man and as an outsider here, it's very rare that golfers win tournaments in consecutive weeks in any setting, let alone into a major, right?
It is. I mean, Tiger did it at Bridgestone and the PGA Championship, and Rory done it as well. But, I mean, to your point, 25-1 for the number 3 ranked player in the world, it's kind of hard to argue, especially a guy that just shot 61. So, I mean, you're not going to get any argument out of me. I took him in the British as well and have taken him in several instances and gotten burned by him. But he does usually finish in the top, you know, 10, 15, or top 10 or top 5.
All right, here's a guy I'm not getting burned by, John Rahm. I like he's never had a T25, as you write, but there's always buzz around this guy, and I like what you wrote. He's the new Patrick Reed. Simple as that. Next, Adam Scott, 35-1, as Dan Daly writes. And go over to Vegas Insider. It's a great read. He's got great comments for each golfer. Adam Scott, Dan would like him, but only if your 4-year-old daughter gets to putt for him when he gets to the green, right? So Adam handles the fairways and everything, but your 4-year-old daughter handles the putting.
I mean, my 4-year-old, it doesn't matter. God, anybody in the world's got to be a better putter than this guy. It's so sad as good as he strikes the ball.
You know what?
I mean, he could have won 12 majors by now if he could putt.
We had a golf tournament earlier this year. I nailed like a 17, 18-footer, man. I might be able to help him out a little bit. I missed a lot, too, though. All right, Brooks Koepka, 22-1. Pretty good odds for Brooks here, 22-1. He intrigues you, doesn't he?
He does, and he's come down a little bit as well. I mean, how can you not like a guy that hits it that far on a golf course this long, especially with the rain? This summer, I don't know anybody's played better than him this summer, maybe Jordan Spieth. Obviously, but you gotta love his chances at this course. He's never played it in the tournament, in the Quail Hollow tournament, so it's my one caveat to him, and winning 2 majors in 1 year is tough, but I love him in a top 10 and maybe even a top 5 bet this week.
All right, and your winner is, and it surprised me to see because I remember all your columns, and I'm like, man, again, this guy is killing Dan. He's killing you, but you must really like him to make him your winner because I know you live and die with this stuff. Give us your winner.
Oh, you have no idea how much heartburn it gave me to write that. But, yeah, Rory burned me last year in the Masters and another time as well. But I just – if he can't win on this golf course, then I don't know when or if he's going to win another major. I mean, everything is teed. He owns the course record, the tournament record, 2 PGA championships. He's, you know, coming off of a top 5 at the British Open. He played decent last week. He's relaxed with his new best friend caddy on the bag. It's going to rain. It's going to make the course longer and harder. I just cannot fathom a scenario he doesn't win. And if he doesn't, he's put in my Ricky Fowler never bet on him again scenario.
Well, I'm buying in now. I'm buying in. I'm going to be like the complete square, Dan. Complete square. Spieth and Rory.
Well, you know, as I said, they're favorites for a reason, right? I mean, the Patriots are 17-point favorites sometimes for a reason.
Dad, I love the call. I'm always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
And for more insight and stuff, you can read his takes on all the golfers in the tournament. Go to VegasInsider.com. Gary and Thorne joins us next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Gary and Thorne onto the set. But before we talk some of Miami Dolphin football, let us remind you, fantasy football season is here. Don't be a loser, all right? You want to win your fantasy league, it's real easy, man. It's real easy. Go to rotoexperts.com/discount. You're going to get 20% off. With the 20% off, it works out to be like $31. Think about it. You spend $31, you let all the experts do the work for you, and you take all your friends' money and you win all the leagues that you're in for $31, all right? And you don't even have to tell them about it. You should if you were cool, but you don't have to. RotoExperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE or promo code Garion.
Yeah, one of the two.
Rage is easier to spell.
It's shorter too, so.
But
probably
for the record, I'm not. Yeah, we're not getting personal cuts, right?
No,
they're probably keeping track.
There's no real stake here.
No, well, the guy with the least bonus register is probably getting fired, Garrett.
Fair enough.
Should bring this up now. It's like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Winner gets a water pick. Loser. Yeah, right.
The old sales competition
Rage
mentality.
Or Garrett, all right. Either way, I see. I advocate either one here. But in all seriousness, guys. It's like $31 after the 20% off, and you're going to freaking win. All right, so the preseason has started with the Hall of Fame game. We got one game tomorrow, and then there's no turning back on Thursday. That's when the injuries are really going to start. Yeah. Normally, quarterbacks and high-profile players start to get injured in preseason.
In actual games.
Yeah, like, we haven't even kicked off yet.
Nope.
And look, Andrew Luck, oh, it looks like he's not going to be ready to throw. Joe Flacco, oh, it looks like that back. Ryan.
That one's looking better. That one's looking better.
See, well, he's on target for week one, they say, right?
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, though?
It's up in the air.
Up in the air.
It's definitely up in the air. It seems like they're already kind of covering their tracks. They're laying the framework for a, you know, Luck doesn't, he's got enough experience in the NFL where he doesn't actually have to take many snaps in the preseason and in training camp. If he's ready for week one, we're ready to put him out there. I'm not yet willing to say I'm frightened he won't play week one, but this is not good news. This is not trending in a positive direction. And if I'm out there looking to draft right now, like, there's ways to circumvent Andrew Luck. Like, his value, Gabe, in the last week has fallen from a fifth-round draft pick to a seventh-round draft pick. People are terrified of this concept.
Yeah, how can you take T.Y. Hilton if Scott Tolzien's your quarterback?
That's the thing. T.Y.'s value, and I love T.Y. this season, but if I can't be guaranteeing that Andrew Luck isn't going to start the season on the pup list, and that's the problem with the pup list, too, is now you're saying week seven. 6 weeks of Scott Tolzien for T.Y. Hilton. I want no part of that. So it's a very interesting situation.
And I'll tell you what, Las Vegas is uncertain. They've taken the Colts off the board.
Yeah.
The win total's off the board. Their first game against the Rams is off the
board. Who are you trending towards in the South anyway? Because I found myself really leaning towards Houston. Yeah.
And by far, they're the best team in the division. Tennessee are a fantasy team.
I kind of like Jacksonville at +700.
They're trendy, Gary. They're trendy, but can we fall for it?
It's going to be a really good defense.
You like them over 5.5 wins, Jacksonville?
I do. I love Jacksonville over 5.5. And I think
he
even
loves it.
Well, they came out and said the ideal amount of times four Bortles to throw in a game, zero. They've already discovered that the Dallas Cowboy mentality from last season is the way to go for Jackson. Yeah. You want to run the ball with Fournette, and that defense could be really good.
Ton of talent on the defensive side of the football. And you remember when Doug Marrone was the coach of the Buffalo Bills, they ran the ball like 563 times or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't draft Leonard Fournette for Bortles to throw the ball 42 times anymore. Those days are over. Tom Coughlin's running the show now, all right? He's like the old angry guy looking down Marrone. They're going to play old school football. They're going to chew the clock up, and it's going to make Bortles much. Bortles not a fantasy guy better now, because Bortles used to have good DraftKings days with his stupid garbage at the end of the game all the time. You're not going to have that as much, but Bortles will be a better reality quarterback. But let's talk about the Dolphins situation right now. So Tannehill goes down in a non-contact drill, and this is being lost in all the talk about Jay Cutler, is the fact that this is kind of preventable, Gary, and why didn't Ryan Tannehill have surgery? Why didn't the Miami Dolphins force him to have surgery?
Yeah.
You have a partially torn ACL. Carson Palmer had this. Joe Flacco had this. They had the surgery immediately after, and they're both ready for the upcoming following season. And word out of Miami was basically they expected Tannehill to step up and man up and do it. But he was like, oh, it's getting better. It's getting better. And the exact quote was, so a doctor told him his knee is a ticking time bomb. He couldn't even get through camp, Gary. And hindsight's easy here, but they should have made him go under the knife, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I have no possible insight to add to, like, a doctor's point of view or any medical staff's point of view. But, like, going for some of the guys that I trust, their medical opinions, the Will Carrolls of the world and stuff. I mean, there's a very simple sort of philosophy that you could take on the Tannehill side, which is just whenever you can avoid major surgery, that's generally the best route. And I think they thought with the plasma treatments and all this kind of stuff.
But well, we've they seen thought this. Wrong.
They did think wrong. We've seen this, look, wrong. Across many sports. I mean, even you go to baseball. I remember Michael Saunders a couple spring trainings ago ripped up part of his ACL on a sprinkler head. Like, this stuff isn't very easy. I feel like you're right. Maybe the timeline kind of got thrown out of whack because when this injury happened week 13 last season, there was some hope. I mean, it was a very obscure hope.
You're right.
In
then
Miami,
back for the playoffs,
that he could be back for the playoffs. So maybe if there were no playoff aspirations.
And then you know what happened? Then it became, all right, enjoy the holidays and then sort of, you know, because it's painful. No, like you said, nobody wants to go through this, the rehab and everything. But in hindsight, you know, Tannehill's thinking, man, I probably should have just went under the knife before because now I'm going to miss the season as opposed to not. So I'll be honest with you. It was amazing. Ironically enough, I was in the airport in Miami when the signing went down, sitting next to the Big Show of all people.
He was just he was the training camp. He was a Dolphins training camp that day.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it wrestled last night.
There you go.
In Toronto as well. All right. So I could have asked him about all this stuff.
You know?
But I didn't. I was sleeping right next to him. But anyways, my initial reaction was they're insane. Jay Cutler is a gutless, soulless turnover machine.
Yeah.
I brought it up off the top of the show. He's been sacked 302 times in his career, and it's not always the line. You know he makes the line look worse.
Yeah.
He's the worst starting quarterback against the spread out of active quarterbacks at 55-81 against the spread.
That's
something
impressive.
To think about. Yeah, he's only won 55 games. You've only won 55 bets. You've lost 81 in all of his games. But, all right, he did have 21 touchdowns, only 11 picks, 92.3 quarterback rating. You're a Dolphin fan. You're a fantasy guy.
Yeah.
Is he better than Matt Moore? Do you prefer him than Matt Moore? Because to me, Matt Moore, you know, is more just not fantasy, but efficient in reality, Gary.
I think really what it comes down to, and this is a boring answer, but, like, if you're going to rank the quarterbacks in the NFL, I think once you get past number 20, there's a range of, like, 21 to 29, even, like, 21 to 25, where Ryan Tannehill, Matt Moore, and Jay Cutler are all probably within, like, two placements of each other. Like, there's not a whole lot of discernible difference.
So either way, they're 23, 25. Yeah.
Like this all wraps up in the grand scheme of, like, Dolphins fandom since Marino retired. This is a team destined to win seven or eight
funny.
Games.
You know what's funny, too, because the CBS Sportsline computer model, which is pretty good.
7.3 to 7. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. It was with Tannehill, 6.7, with Moore, 6.3, with Cutler, 6.1.
Yeah, there was not a whole lot of difference. Like, really, it doesn't matter that much from a real-life perspective. I think the one thing I can see here, aside from the Gase-Cutler connections, and this is kind of the mentality the organization had last year, which is just Matt Moore played very well for the Dolphins. And even most of that game was garbage time. And you still really can't prove to me that Matt Moore didn't die on the field in that wild card game with that concussion he suffered against the Steelers. Played well in that game, too.
For the team, and then they wouldn't stand up. For, yeah,
jeez.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But
causes friction in the room, Gary. That the Cutler comes in here off the street, doesn't really care. And then starts turning the ball over. They're like, well, this guy doesn't even care. We don't even know this guy because he's buddies with Gase. That's why he's here.
But I do think it's a mentality where can Matt Moore make this team an 8-8 team, a 9-7 team? I guess he could. It's on the table. But you're not going into the season saying Matt Moore's going to win us a playoff
game.
And
Gase doesn't think so, obviously.
And clearly Gase was looking for an out here. He didn't want Matt Moore to be the quarterback
obviously.
Of this team.
It's going to be a battle. Guy comes out and says, Jay didn't come here to stand on the sidelines. What's that telling Matt Moore?
That was an initial. Apparently they were very upfront with Moore, and Moore might just be saying the things the media needs him to hear, and this could speak to, again, Moore's kind of presence in his locker room, being a level-headed guy. But, you know, he's saying all the right things. Career backup, Matt Moore. No greater job in the NFL than being a backup quarterback and making that amount of money, so whatever. Matt Moore is what he is.
Rosenfels. All right, unfortunately, we're out of time. For more football talk, check out Gary and Thorne. Go to rotoexperts.com /discount promo code Gary and or Rage. Game Time Decisions continues. Plays it today.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. It's great to be back. Let's start off with some baseball. Marlins and Nationals. Nationals in a good spot. If you saw Dave Malinsky a couple of minutes ago on our show, he told you about how Wuerli shut these guys out last week. Not happening back-to-back. All right, listen, I know the Corey Kluber's been freaking smoking hot. The Tribe always screw me, but I got to take the Rockies at plus 210. I'm in an underdog frame of mind tonight. Give me the Rays, plus 175. And why the Dodgers only minus 130? May the winners be yours.